Nehemiah chapter 8. I told you this morning, if you were here, I'm going to preach on joy tonight. Nehemiah chapter 8. Verse number 10, the Bible says, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. The Bible has a lot to say about joy. John chapter 16. Verse number 22, the Bible says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Your joy no man taketh from you. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 8, it says, "Whom ye have not seen, ye love, in whom, though ye now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with" what? "Joy unspeakable and full of glory." I want to talk to you a little bit about joy tonight. This title of my message is The Joy Pumps. The Joy Pumps. I'm going to help you with that a little bit tonight, and we'll get right into the message. Let's pray. Dear Father, once again, we just come to you in prayer, Lord. I just pray that you'd bless this message, Lord. I pray that you'd help it to be encouragement to all of our hearts, Lord. And Lord, as Christians in today's world, Lord, I feel like we're losing our joy. Lord, I pray that you'd just not allow anybody to take it from us, Lord, that you would restore unto us the joy that we need to have. Lord, thank you for the opportunity tonight. Lord, speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you turn back to Nehemiah chapter 8, that'll kind of be my starting point. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you have ever run out of gas? I was broke, just like most Bible college students, and I used to, I would take that thing right up to the engine on my car. You had to put your prayer light up in, in college, and you take that thing and pray that God would get you there basically. When I was in high school, I went to a church that was about 45 minutes away. My parents went, I grew up in a Christian home, and I think I told you pretty much, born on a church pew. I'm going to walk around this so I can. And after church on Sunday nights, what we would do is I'd stay at the church, and we had a big church, big gym, so we'd stay and play basketball after church, and we'd bring our clothes to change into, and my parents would go on home, and I would drive my vehicle. And the vehicle I had at the time was just a little car, and what it would do is it would go the gas gauge. I'd watch the gas gauge. It would go all the way to empty, then it would bounce back up to about quarter of a tank. So I knew if it bounced back up, I still had about a quarter of a tank. So then at that point, I would start thinking about getting gas. But the tricky thing was, is I didn't always remember if it had bounced up or not. So one day, it was a Sunday night after church, and it was a pretty long drive. Like I said, it was about 45 minutes, and it was one of those old, if you've ever been to Florida, one of those old country roads that there wasn't much between here and there. And I played basketball that night and started heading home. And I looked at the gas gauge, and I was like, okay, it's an empty. And I didn't remember that it had already bounced back up to a quarter of a tank. So, sure enough, chug, chug, chug. I could feel it kind of chugging. So I turned the air conditioner off. I turned my CD player off. So I'm trying to conserve as much gas as I possibly can. And sure enough, chug, 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 I run out of gas. So I pull off to the side of the road, and that was back 1996, 1997, back when cell phones were just kind of coming out where everybody had them, but they were very expensive to have. You know, you paid, you know, 60 or 70 cents a minute to make a phone call. So I had a cell phone. It was just because I drove that 45 minutes and there wasn't much between here and there. So I called my dad and said, "Dad, I ran out of gas." And of course he spent 5 or 10 minutes giving me a hard time. And so he came, he brought me some gas and rescued me so I could drive to the gas station, fill up with gas. And but I hadn't really learned my lesson. You know, I'd run out of gas several times after that. How many have you run out of gas several times in your life? All right. I don't know why we do it. My dad's one of those guys. Once it gets to half a tank, he fills that puppy back up. I don't know what it is. I'm doing a little bit better now that I'm married, but just a few of you have ever run out of gas before, and that's a good thing. But how many of us? You don't have to raise your hand for this question. But how many of us have run out of spiritual gas? Where we just stop really caring about the things of God. We just run out of gas. We're tired. We're burnt out. You know, when I pulled into that gas station that night, a certain amount of joy filled my life as I pulled in and I was able to get gas and not have to worry about the gas tank. I think sometimes we as Christians, we lose our joy. We run out of joy. We have a lot of miserable Christians walking around in the world today, where if you look at their countenance and judge their countenance and their attitude, you'd never know in a million years that they were a Christian. We need some joy pumps. I was happy to pull up to that gas pump and be, "Oh, okay, I got my gas. I'm good to go." We need some joy pumps in our life, and I want to give you some of those tonight. You know that joy is something that every Christian needs, but very few have. The cares of this world weigh heavy on us. We have a bunch of Christians in our churches today that have no joy. You know, you walk up to them and you shake their hand, "How are you doing?" And they're, "This is wrong. This is wrong." Man, we need joy. We have something to be joyful about, don't we? We have the Lord Jesus. Most of us, I hope, have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. He's our personal Savior. Our salvation is something to joy about. And we'll read about that here a little bit later in the Bible. Understand this, that happiness and joy are different. Happiness is a result of joy. Now, I'm not saying that you have to walk around with that plastic smile plastered to your face all the time, because that's not realistic. We're going to have heartaches. We're going to have trials. We're going to have troubles. But we can still have joy. Are we always going to be happy? No. But we can still walk around with that joy. So I want to give you a few joy pumps tonight. And if joy is something that you're struggling with right now in your life and you're just having a hard time finding joy, I want to help you. So let's take our Bibles, turn to Psalm 51. This would be good to write down if you're one of those that likes to write things down in a church service. I promise if you listen fast, I'll talk fast. Okay? Psalm 51. Joy pump number one. Get saved and know it. A lot of you have heard a little bit of my testimony. You know, I battled with doubting my salvation most of my teenage and young adult life. I promise you, it is one of the most miserable states to be in. It's one of the most miserable places to be, to wonder and to doubt your salvation. If you're going through that tonight, I can sympathize with you. I can promise you, you're going to have a hard time finding real joy. Psalm 51, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." and uphold me with thy free spirit. You want joy? You're never going to have true peace. You're never going to have true joy without Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're going to go through life miserable. Now, you might be able to put on a good show. You might be able to put on one of those fake plastic smiles. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not saved tonight, you'll never have true joy. And if you are saved, the Bible says that David wrote the Psalm 51 there. If you know anything about the Bible, this is when he, right after he sinned with Bathsheba, and the prophet Nathan stuck his finger right between David's eyes and said, "You are the man. You're the guy that's done this." And David had to repent. And he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." We all know, I'm sure we know what the word restore means. You take an old car. Now, my wife used to have a 1967 Ford Mustang. I think your dad bought it for $500. Is that correct? I never saw it when it was at the $500 mark. It was a piece of junk, from what I understand. It was beat up. Everything didn't work. I don't even know if it ran at $500. But what he began to do is he began to fix the thing up. You know, got it a new paint job. You know, fixed some stuff up on the inside, I'm sure, and worked under the hood, and he restored that vehicle. And I believe that she gave it to her sister, and they just sold it for a few thousand dollars, if I'm not mistaken. They restored it. They brought it back to its pristine condition. And that's exactly what we need. We need God to restore unto us the joy of our salvation. You don't have joy tonight? You say, "Well, I know I'm saved." If you know you're saved and you don't have joy, you could pray that prayer. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So number one, get saved and know it. Know it beyond any shadow of any doubt. Number two, I'm going to give you some practical stuff here too, okay? Number two, learn to laugh at yourself. How many of you have ever done anything stupid? How many of you have ever done anything embarrassing? Some people, man, that will ruin their week. I'll tell you a couple stories just to make you laugh tonight. But one time I was in college, and I was in a singing group in college, and we went to a nursing home to sing. You know, we wanted to be a blessing to the folks. And by the way, I know we have a nursing home ministry here. That is one of the most important ministries, I think, that you could get involved in. Understand, those older people, the ones that are still in with a sound mind, they get very lonely. And I used to, we'd just go sing at those places all the time. It would just bring joy to their hearts and lives. It would make their whole year, you know, just to go by and talk to them. You know, it's fun to listen to some of the stories they would tell. But anyway, we went and sang at this place, and I hate telling a story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. We were singing, and it was a men's quartet I was in, and we were singing, just having a good time, and the folks seemed to enjoy it, and we were winding the time down, and the guy that was in charge of the group is a couple years older than me, and he turned to me and said, "Andy, why don't you sing in the garden?" You know the hymn, "I come to the garden alone." You know that song? "And he walks with me, and he talks with me." Okay, all right. All right. Anyway, if you don't know that song, it's an old hymn. I'm sure it's in this hymnal. So I started to sing it, tried to do my best to sing a beautiful, beautiful melody. And this lady stands up. I don't remember where she was. I think she was right in the middle of the room. But she stands up, she points to him and says, "Destroy him!" I mean, I don't know. Musicians are very, very emotional people, very moody people. And it was like she just stabbed me in the heart. You know, I was done. Anyway, that was a funny story. Another story. This one happened more recently. We had just moved here. So this is just a few weeks ago. And I think it was before we even had a place to live, or maybe we took the truck. I think we dropped off the truck after we had unloaded it. And we were in Jack in the Box. And they weren't busy, but you never ever notice when some of those fast food restaurants aren't busy, it takes them forever to cook your food. So we went and sat down, got our drinks and sat down. We were waiting for them to call our order so I could go pick it up. So we sat down, and I think there was two other ladies in the Jack in the Box. And our order was finally here. I was hungry, you know, and I mean, look at me, I like to eat. But so I got up to go get our food, and my foot caught on the leg of the chair that I was sitting in, and I pretty much just wiped out. I didn't fall on the floor, but I tripped, and I was not very graceful at all. But you know, I just came back to our table after I did that. I just looked at my wife, and she busted up laughing, and I busted up laughing. Learn to laugh at yourself. So number one, get saved and know it. Number two, learn to laugh at yourself. We're talking about the joy pumps tonight. We're trying to restore our joy. Turn to Psalm chapter 1, if you would. The first Psalm. Gotta love vehicle problems, amen? Glad you guys are here. All right, Psalm 1. So number one, get saved and know it. Number two, learn to laugh at yourself. Number three, we're going to read Psalm 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Okay, class, verse number two there, it talks about the law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord in that passage, Matthew? The Word of God. You want joy in your life? You want the joy back? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse number 17, let's say it together. Pray without ceasing. You want joy in your life? Read your Bible and pray. That will bring you joy. Studying God's Word will bring you joy. I've been reading in the book of Acts right now. Some wonderful things happened to the church in the book of Acts. And with us coming here to start a new church, and I'm just trying to learn of how it, you know, God's plan for that church was, and some of the things that they went through. They went through some horrible persecution. But man, the Bible will bring you joy. It'll bring you joy. The message Brian preached this morning, that passage in 1 Samuel about Hannah. Man, if you read the story of Hannah and understand the heartache and the hurt and the bitterness that she had for not having a son, a child, and then for God to bless her with a son, and her so wanting that child that she was willing to promise Samuel back to God, I think that was amazing. What a story. There's some great stories in the Bible. Ever read the book of Esther? About Mordecai and the evil Haman? Check it out, man. I don't know about you. I like blood and guts. I'm a blood and guts guy, man. I love that stuff. If you read the story, man, the Bible's full of it, by the way. God's a loving God, but God's a judging God, too. You read the book of Esther, and basically what happens is that Haman hates Mordecai. Mordecai's a Jew, and Queen Esther's a Jew. And Haman comes up with this wonderful grand plan to hang Mordecai, and he builds this gallows to hang Mordecai with. And he's going to destroy the children of Israel, the Jewish people. The king gets word of it. Esther's husband gets word of it. And basically what happens is he calls Haman out on the carpet, and he hangs Haman on the gallows that Haman built. What a story, man. That's a great story. The Bible will bring you joy. Hang him, man. You know what I mean? Get excited about that. Read your Bible and pray it works. Number four, how about preaching? It took us, it seemed like 6 months to get here from Colorado, but it didn't take quite that long. It took us probably 30 hours, 25, 26 hours, something like that. And I was driving a 26-foot moving truck with a tow dolly pulling my car, and my wife was behind me. And I don't think I would have got through that trip, but I had probably 10 or 12 preaching CDs. And I was so thankful that that truck had a CD player. I listened to a bunch of preaching. And you know what? That brought joy to my heart. It made that trip not exciting. It made that trip doable, though. And there's, man, if you're down in the dumps, there's nothing like popping one of those preaching CDs and just listening to somebody preach the Word of God. It's exciting. You should try it. Number five. How about singing? How about singing? Singing should bring joy to your heart. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Understand this, that God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear you sing. You say, well, I can't carry a tune. You know what? That's okay. Doesn't mean that you're going to get up and sing a solo in front of a bunch of people, not necessarily, but how many of you are singers in the shower? Oh, come on. You guys are a bunch of liars. Put your hands up. Anybody else sing in the shower? I'll tell you what, man. I've had some of the best concerts of my life in the shower. When I sing, I don't sing in the shower all the time, but when I sing in the shower, I mean, I let her rip. You know what I mean? I get loud, and you know, I don't care who hears me. You know what? Singing brings joy to your heart. And I believe that singing brings joy to God's heart. Tyler, how fast can we get this piano set up tonight? Can we set it up here while I'm talking? I'm going to sing a little bit. We're going to sing in the middle of the message. Singing's exciting. Listen, if I'm down in the dumps, if I'm not putting in a preaching CD, I'm going to put in a music CD. It brings joy to my heart. Singing, you know, so many people are afraid to sing. You know, I don't know if it's because you don't think you sound good or you know, it's embarrassing. I remember going through that stage in my life as a kid, you know. When I was 4 years old, I used to find my mom's hairbrush. I'm going to tell myself again. I used to find my mom's hairbrush, and I'd hide behind the curtains, like on the window, and I would... Ladies and gentlemen, the Andy Arendt Show. And I'd come out and I'd pull that hairbrush out and I'd start singing. I was 2, 3, 4 years old. I love to sing. Grab your hymnals. Well, let's find something good. There's some good songs in here, isn't there? How about 630? You say, this is not normal church. It's okay. Pastor's not here. Don't tell him that we sang in the middle of the service. He probably won't care, though. Page 630, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's just sing that first verse together. Maybe it'll bring some joy to your heart.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Let's do one more. You say, this is crazy. It's okay. 7:13. This is a good one. Seek ye first. I hope it's bringing joy to your heart to sing.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
That's good singing. Stay there for me if you would. We're going to sing again here in a minute. So number five is singing. You want joy in your heart? Man, sing. Amen. How about this one for you? Get around little children. If little children don't bring you joy, if they don't bring a smile to your face, I check to make sure you have a heartbeat. Children will bring you joy. And my wife and I don't have any kids, but we have nieces and nephews. And we have a little nephew. He just turned 3 yesterday. His name's Carter. And, I mean, he is our special little buddy. Out of all the people, we lived in Colorado for about 7 years, seven years, something like that. And we knew a lot of people. We were in the same church for over 5 years. And they had a going away party for us, and we were there at that church service till after 10 o'clock that night, people just saying goodbye to us and watching my wife hug all these people. And my wife is very tender-hearted, and she cries pretty easily. So she, saying goodbye to all these folks. And I'm pretty tender-hearted, too. I like to say that at least. But I didn't cry with all those people. My brother and his wife live in town, and it was hard to say goodbye to them, and I got choked up. But it was until we said goodbye to their son, our nephew Carter, I just lost it. And he just our special little buddy. I mean, we'd watch him a lot on Sunday afternoons, and we were basically the built-in babysitter. Whenever there was a babysitter needed, we were it. And Carter and I would play all kinds of games. And I remember one night, one of the last nights we had him, he was at our house. I don't remember even where his parents were. I think my brother got stuck at work or something, and we were playing baseball in our living room. And most wives freak out when you play baseball in the living room, but my wife was down there playing baseball with us. We just had a fun time, and it was one of those things. It brought joy. He was having the time of his life. Do you remember how excited he got? And it was just amazing. It brought joy to our hearts. And that's something that we'll never... I'm getting choked up even thinking about it. It's one of those things that we'll never forget, Man, get around... If you have a joy problem, get around children. There's little kids running around this church, man. Get excited. And that brings joy to our hearts. How about this one? Number 7, the second coming. Jesus is coming soon, isn't he? All of our heartaches, all of our trials, all of our troubles will be over. That'll be a glorious day. What a day that will be. Take your hymnals again. We're going to sing that one. 762. You said this is not conventional church. Who cares? Let's have some joy. Let's sing about the second. What a day that's going to be, isn't it? Let's sing this one. I love this song.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
That's good singing. Jesus is coming soon. Tyler, you can go sit down now, that we don't have to sit at the piano bench. So number 7 is the second coming. What a day that will be. How about number 8, giving? You say, oh no. The Bible says the Lord loveth a miserable giver. Isn't that what it says? The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Now that's not the giver that sticks his money in the offering plate and watches it go all the way down the rest of the aisle. A cheerful giver, having a part in God's work. And I know this is a giving church. And this is a church that's given to us to help us get started, and we're so thankful for that. I promise you, you know the saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive? How many parents do we have out here? Parents, let me ask you a question. And I don't know this because I'm not a parent, but I've experienced the same principle. Christmas morning comes, and it's time to open the gifts, if that's what you do on Christmas Day. Parents, do you enjoy opening your gifts, or do you enjoy watching your children open their gifts? Yeah. There's something about it, isn't it? And even, we're not parents, but even as adults, as we watch our nieces and nephews, and even our you know, my brother and his wife, or my wife's family, or whatever, we watch people open, there's something about that as an adult, that it is truly more blessed to give than to receive. I don't care, you know, if I get anything, I just enjoy watching everybody else open their gifts. So giving is something that should bring joy to our lives. That's number 8. Number 9, how about this one? Turn to Psalm chapter 126. Psalm 126. I'm almost done, I promise you, I'm almost done. Psalm 126, verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in what? Joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's talking about being a witness. That's talking about telling others about Jesus. You want joy in your life? Tell somebody else about Jesus. I remember in Bible college, we used to do this thing called a soul-winning marathon. And that was, we would go up to a church a couple hours away usually that was just starting, or a smaller church, and we would knock doors and witness for 12 hours a day for 3 days. How many of you ever been to Florida in May? It is hot. I think Florida in December is hot. But Florida in the month of May, about 100 degrees, about 600% humidity. It was miserable. And we would go two by two and knock doors. Hey, you know, if you were to die today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? And I tell you what, man, it was miserable. Until we saw the first one saved. And then we'd see somebody else saved. We'd knock 5 or 6 doors in a row and see somebody saved at every door. That brought joy. We soon forgot about all the heat and all the humidity and how miserable and hungry and thirsty we were. It brought us joy. Telling others about Jesus will bring you joy. Number 10, live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. You say, Brother Andy, what do you mean by that? Don't borrow tomorrow's troubles today. Today's full of trouble. Let's not borrow, you know, some of you, I would venture to guess, borrow 6 months in advance worth of trouble. And don't do that. Live one day at a time. Take it as it comes. God will provide. Trust God. He'll take care of your problems. He promises to never put on us more than we can bear. Don't borrow tomorrow's troubles today. And lastly, finish what you start. Finish what you start. I don't know about you, but there's something about finishing a project. We have any construction guys in here, or guys that work with their hands a little bit? Guys, let me ask you this. Once you finish that, whatever that project is, if you're building a chair or if you're remodeling a kitchen or whatever you're doing, is there a certain sense of joy when you finish? When you see that result, and you can just kind of step back and say, you know what? That looks pretty good. Finish what you start. Churches today are full of people that used to be Sunday school teachers, that used to teach junior church, that used to work in the nursery, that used to take the offering, that used to do all these things, but they quit doing them for some reason. I would want to encourage you tonight, if you're involved in a ministry, see it through. Finish what you start. Great are your rewards in heaven. It's an amazing thing to finish what you start. That'll bring you joy. Are you struggling with your joy tonight? I don't know. I don't know most of you very well. But if you're struggling in the joy department, pull up to one of these joy pumps. Just like that time that I told you about, that I ran out of gas. I was so excited to finally pull into that gas station. I needed to fill up. Some of us are missing that joy in our lives. Pull into one of these joy stations and just fill up. Seek God. Read His Word and talk to God through prayer. And follow some of these other things. Man, find one of these kids and just run around with them a little bit. You know, I see Brother Huggins running around with Ethan and Nathan all the time. And man, I'm sure it brings joy to your heart, doesn't it? Yeah. There's nothing like it. Find something. Pull up to one of these joy pumps and fill up on the joy. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes tonight. I'm not going to have a long invitation, but if you want to come and just do business with the Lord, if you're missing out on joy tonight, the first thing I would do is ask God to restore unto you the joy of your salvation. Allow God to just renew your heart. Let's stand together tonight as Tyler plays. If you want to come forward and pray, you can pray right where you're at your chair, whatever you want to do. Talk to the Lord. Understand this too, that a thankful person is a joyful person. I heard a statement at a preacher's meeting this week that I wrote down. I'm going to build a whole message on it, I think. But the statement was this: if God was to take everything away from you that you did not say thank you for, what would you have left? And I don't know about you tonight, but that hit me like a brick. And I began to think of the things that I would not have, and it was a lot. If you're having a bad day and thinking the world's caving in and the sky is falling, count your blessings. be thankful. That'll bring joy to your heart. I can promise you that. Pull up to the joy pumps. Let's pray and dismiss tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for promising us joy. And Lord, some of these things tonight that I talked about, Lord, are silly things. Lord, they're simple. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to use those tonight. Lord, if we're